This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Box Office Top 10 this week includes these numbers. 10, 9... We better get through this pretty quickly. The Lives of Others at 10.
It's good, but it's not as good as Pan's Labyrinth, and it's a shame that it beat it to the best foreign language Oscar.
The Perfect Strangers at 9.
Now, of course, I've been off for 2 weeks, so there's 4 films in the top 10 I haven't seen yet, and this is the first of them, but I don't hear good things, but I shall catch up with it.
Meet the Robinsons at 8.
If you go and see it, go and see it in 3D. You need 3D to make it work.
Curse of the Golden Flower at 7.
That's number 2 of the It Was Opening in the Last Fortnight.
Sunshine at 6.
I like it very much. It's
disappointing figures.
No, it did. It opened strongly. I mean, it's done all right.
I think it opened at number 2.
No, it didn't open at number 1. It definitely opened at number 1. I saw a box office chart and it was there at number 1.
OK, we can agree to differ on this and on many other issues. 300 at 5.
You know, a bunch of big guys with swords hitting each other based on ancient legends, I'm sure. Oh, Gerald Kaplan does mention it in that ridiculous article.
Shooter at 4.
Haven't seen it, but I'm a big fan of Mark Wahlberg and looking forward to it.
Blades of Glory at 3.
Surprisingly enough, Will Ferrell in quite funny mode shock.
Mr. Bean's Holiday at 2.
Surprisingly enough, Rowan Atkinson in not funny at all mode shock.
Wild Hogs is the UK's number 1.
And that's my big date over the weekend to go and see Wild Hogs.
Simon Shaw on this email. I'm a regular listener to your film review. Me and my wife Pamela love to listen to The Download on Sunday mornings while eating a full English, chuckling away at Mark's rants. In light of a new film with Anthony Hopkins in, I'm thinking of not bothering this week for the simple reason Mark's annoying way of saying
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Please stop him. It's more annoying than his Truman Capote voice, and that brings blood to my ears. So when we get to it, don't do it. Okay? What's out this week, Mark?
Okay, well, let's, because we're kind of slightly pushed for time, let's run the two Ryan Gosling films together. Ryan Gosling, a kind of up-and-coming star, was the sort of joker in the pack of this year's Best Actor Oscar nominations for an independently spirited film called Half Nelson, in which he plays a teacher teaching in an inner-city school with dead-end kids, and he's kind of trying to inspire them with his free-thinking version of education. Now, unlike movies like, for example, Freedom Writers or Dangerous Minds, which have, you know, nice middle-class white people going into deprived, underprivileged schools and sort of inspiring the pupils, but basically it's the nice middle-class white people who are responsible for doing this. The thing here is that Ryan Gosling's character is just as messed up as all the pupils. He's a drug addict, he smokes in the toilets, he's caught up with one of the kids who he then attempts to sort of protect from the lifestyle which she seems to be falling into. Now, I think Ryan Gosling is a good actor. I think he's a very sincere young man. And certainly, and he has the kind of face that the camera likes to look at for a long time. One of the problems with Half Nelson is that it's very indie-pindy, oodly-noodly, you know, let's just dingle-dangle around here a little bit, let's, you know, have people mumbling.
It's a lot of reduplicated words you're using all at once.
No, but that's how these kind of movies make me feel, you know, everything a little bit indie, a little bit offbeat, a little bit quick, and it's perfectly fine. I mean, I have nothing against American independent cinema. I'm surprised that it's quite as textbook American indie as it actually is, and if it weren't for Ryan Gosling's performance, I think it would pretty much have slipped under most people's radars, which is a shame because there's a very good performance by Sharika Epps, who plays the 13-year-old girl that Gosling's character kind of takes under his wing and attempts to protect from her environment, and she gives a very, very fine performance. I haven't seen her before. I think she's a newcomer, and her work in it is strong. I think Half Nelson itself, it's slightly too earnest for its own good. It doesn't quite know what it's saying, other than that, you know, liberal white middle-class values aren't really enough, and, you know, hey, it's a strange and beautiful world out there with some difficulties. But I think Ryan Gosling is fine. I don't think you have to rush out and see it. I think it's something which, if you catch up with it on television, you won't lose very much. Now, the other Ryan Gosling film which is out this week is, well, probably do better box office, although it's not in the same caliber of sort of ambition, which is Fracture, which is a dumb as nuts Hollywood thriller. The story is Ryan Gosling is a state prosecutor. He's on the way out of the state prosecution office because he's going to go and get a job with a big, highly paid lawyer. And as he does it, at the beginning of the movie, we see Sir Anthony.
No,
I can't not do it. It's not possible.
You can. Just say Anthony Hopkins.
I can't say.
Okay, you leave a space old.
Him. Okay, so a character played by
Anthony Hopkins
at the beginning of the movie kills his wife, right? We see him killing his wife. The police turn up. He says, yes, I did it. And he then is the last case that our state prosecutor has to prosecute before he goes off to do the big number, okay? However,
Anthony Hopkins
subsequently says, the case isn't as simple as you think. You know, you had all the evidence, but the fact is I'm going to plead innocent, and you're going to have a very, very difficult time prosecuting me. And
Anthony Hopkins
ends up playing Cat and Mouse with Ryan Gosling. I think he's playing an Irish American, but I'm not sure, because there are moments when he goes all Jones the Steam, and there are other moments when he goes all Hannibal Lecter, and he does that sort of thing about, you know, find one. And there are other moments in which he just appears to be from Mars. And the thing that, you know, he, bless him, he doesn't really do accents. He just does Sir Anthony.
No, he does. That's all he does.
That's all you
and it's
do.
Like, honestly, he's a pantomime dame.
He and
turned
you're not.
Up, no, he turned up, excuse me, Queen calling the Queen Queenie. He turns up, right? And it's like, hello, what would you like me to do? Would you like me to do Hannibal Lecter, but would you like him to be a little bit Irish? That's fine.
I can
do that as long as he can be a bit Welsh and he can be a little bit American. And nobody will care, because in all the trailers, it says starring Oscar nominee Ryan Gosling. And I ask the nation as one to stand on their chairs and say, and
Anthony Hopkins. Listen, if you've got a problem with people doing bad accents,
don't do them myself. But I'm not an actor, you know. It's not that he does bad accents. It's that he doesn't really do accents. He just wonders, where shall my mouth fall today? Shall it be Welsh or shall it be Irish?
It's like
that Jodie Foster character, you know, Tay in a Wind. The person who's never, that's not an accent, that's a language. Anyway, it's rubbish, but it's quite entertaining rubbish. In as much as watching Anthony Hopkins doing his pantomime dame stuff is quite funny.
What's next?
Now, strange thing. There's a small performance in the film I was just talking about, Fracture, by Bob Gunton, who's great in The Shawshank Redemption. He's the kind of the Nixon character, you know, he's the warden. And because he's too little a scene of him. Now, another Shawshank graduate, Clancy Brown, turns up in Pathfinder playing one of the hairy, horned hordes who rush around going, ah, 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 in Pathfinder. So the story, what there is of it, starts, right, with horned Vikings invade and, you know, pillaging amongst Native Americans, but they accidentally leave behind a small child. Now, the small child then kind of grows up to become a great Native warrior who will then have to defend his now new people against the fact that we know the Vikings are going to come back. We know they're going to, because, hey, they're Vikings and that's what they do, okay? Now, here's the thing. There's been some fuss from purists that Vikings apparently didn't wear horned helmets. Apparently it's not true.
Viking purists?
Viking purists, mm-hmm. Yeah. They're getting really cross about it.
I speak as a Viking.
Do you? Oh, yes, you are. That's right. You had your blood test and you're a Viking.
DNA, it's all been proved.
Did your people used to wear horned helmets?
Well, put it this way. That weekend, I was given a horned helmet to wear.
Yeah, well, apparently that's a historically inaccurate horned helmet.
It looks good.
That's exactly the position of the filmmakers. They said, you know what? We know they didn't. But hey, it's what audiences expect, and we're not in the business of history. We're in the business of entertainment, so we're going to put the horned helmets on. And a lot of purists have put their hands up and said, how terrible are you? I don't care. I really don't care whether or not they're... I don't care whether they're wearing shoes on their head. I don't care whether they're dressed from head to foot in feathers. I don't care. What I want is a little bit of entertainment. Sadly, the movie is directed by Marcus Nispel. So consequently, entertainment there is none. Marcus Nispel was the person whose previous crimes against cinema include completely destroying the Texas Chainsaw Massacre with his completely hideous, stupid remake of it. Now, he's taken a European movie in the 1980s, I think, was nominated or may even have won the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film, updated it by backdating it, and so what we get is yet another Marcus Nispel movie that looks like all the other sub-advertising garbage that he does. You know, a while ago, somebody developed this kind of bleached-out photography technique, camera shaking all over the place, let's take all that out, all the reds, let's make everything look grey and grainy and blue and blah, 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 make it all look like a pop video, make it all look like an advert for men's cosmetics, make it all look like, you know, an advert for a credit card. Let's have an edit every 5 seconds. Let's not hold any shot for any length of time. Let's put a terrible droning pop music-y style score all over it, and let's just turn the volume up so loud that nobody notices that what they're watching has got no story whatsoever. Marcus Nispel is surely one of the worst storytellers in the world, and this movie was so... I mean, it says on the BBFC thing, it's rated 15, contains strong, bloody violence. It also contains extreme tedium, and I was sitting in a row of critics, and I promise you, the critic to my left of me, the critic to my right of me, and me, all at some point, despite the head-banging noise, dozed off. Had a little bit of a kip, didn't matter. He woke up, same thing was happening. Bunch of hairy guys, big horns, stomp, 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 ugh, 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 stomp, stomp. A little bit of a snore, a little bit of a think, worry about did I leave the gas on, wake up, what's happening? Oh, stomp, 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 horns, 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 stomp, stomp, stomp. Oh, you know, I'll go out to the toilet, come back in again, what's happening? Stomp, 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 horns, horns, and in the end, everyone, actually, I won't tell you what happens in the end. I'm not going to spoil
everyone
that particular...
Everyone what, goes to heaven?
It's a Viking film, isn't it?
Viking Heaven.
Well, Viking
Heaven. Goes out and have tea and biscuits.
They all say, you know what? All this stomping around has made me really thirsty. And this helmet's really hot. That's what they were doing in Monty Python.
Have a cup of tea.
It's absolute rubbish. And somebody should really speak very strongly to Marcus Nispel and say, look, you know what? You're not a filmmaker. You're an advertising man. Go back to making adverts and commercials and that, because anything over 3 minutes, you're just boring everybody. Even that sequence when everyone has to walk across the great frozen lake and everyone starts falling in, there's no tension in it. No one cares. Everyone's just going, I hope the ice melts, so they all go into it, and that'll be the end of that. It's really, really rubbish.
They did that in that King Arthur film.
Which King Arthur film was that?
Called King Arthur.
Yeah, that wasn't any good either.
And all the ice broke and they all...
Yeah, that wasn't any good either.
This email from Joey... Sunshine opened at number 4, behind Mr. Bean's Holiday, Blades of Glory and 300. It was never number 1. Mark stands corrected.
No, if that is true. But I think it says in London's leading listings magazine, Time Out, in the box office top 10, that it is number 1. So maybe it's number 1 in London. But I obviously clearly am wrong about that, and I stand corrected.
Joe knows. And were you wrong on that?
I was not quite right, as Fonzie says.
What might be alongside Half Nelson, Fracture, Pathfinder, if I'm not really that impressed with anything I've heard so far?
Rain Over Me. And that, this is the film that, you know, it has that worrying thing. It's the new Adam Sandler movie. Now, we all know where we stand on Adam Sandler. I mean, on his head when he's doing comedy, largely. But this is an interesting film. It's a post-9/11 drama, and it stars Don Cheadle and Adam Sandler. And Don Cheadle is a successful dentist who, at the beginning of the film, comes across an old friend of his, somebody he used to know from college, played by Adam Sandler, who is also training to be a dentist, but whose life has fallen apart since he lost his family in a plane crash. Adam Sandler has completely retreated. His character has completely retreated. He says that he has no knowledge of ever having had a family, and he's clearly on the brink of some major psychotic event. He needs help. Don Cheadle, meanwhile, is in a very uptight job, very uptight marriage, and he actually needs to discover his playful side. And you know what? Between them, they start to help each other. And then they jam along to Bruce Springsteen records, and they both discover that, you know what? There's more to life than they thought it was. Now, on the positive side, Sandler is actually pretty good. There is something about Sandler's comedy. I really don't like him as a comedian, as I think I've made clear, but there is something about the way in which he plays comic madness that I've always thought is deeply creepy and deeply weird and deeply dangerous. And that's why I like him in Punch Drunk Love, because you believe that his character really is on the border of psychosis all the time. And in the case of this, he's rather well cast. Funnily enough, he looks exactly like Bob Dylan, circa sort of 1968, because he's got a really raggedy hairstyle, and he's shambling around all over the place. But he does look like somebody who's genuinely in the throes of some major sort of mental collapse. He does it rather well. And there is a quality that Adam Sandler has, which when it is correctly harnessed, is actually quite strong on screen. Don Cheadle is a very solid presence, and he does the job perfectly, you know, perfectly fine, although it's rather like he walked off the set of Crash onto this doing exactly the same performance, you know, good, honest, stand-up kind of guy, and I don't know whether he shouldn't stretch himself more. But there is a very good 86-minute movie about their relationship. Sadly, there's a whole other hour of padding. I mean, there is, for example, a terrible role for Saffron Burrows as this kind of nymphomaniac stalker. It's one of those roles I'm just amazed that she took it on, because you read the script and go, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say or do any of this. There's a terrible role for Liv Tyler, who gets one of those, oh, I'm a professional psychiatrist. She's like, no, you're not. You're Liv Tyler. You know, the last time I saw you, you had elf in ears, and I'm sorry, I like you and everything, and your dad's that guy out of that band, but, you know, you're not a professional. I'm sorry, it's like me saying I'm an astrophysicist. I don't believe for 1 minute that she's a psychoanalyst, a psychotherapist. There's a terrible role for Donald Sutherland. There's a thing at the end when everything comes into it turns up in a court case, and it's one of those you can't handle the truth moments, and everyone shouts at each other and yada 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 in the way that just doesn't happen. And of course, it all ends up with a lot of hugging and a lot of reconciliation and a lot of moving forward and a really, really trite tying up of all the loose ends in a way that involves a Saffron Burrows character. So that's a shame, because it's one of those movies that I really wanted to be let loose on with a pair of scissors, because I tell you, give me a pair of scissors in that film and I'll cut you a good 86-minute movie out of it. It just happens to be 2 hours and 5 minutes long, but it's not without its merits. And there are moments in the Cheadle and Sandler stuff which are moving and are well observed. The other problem it has is it's not Rain Over Me. You see, it takes its title from Quadrophenia. That would be Rain O'er Me, I believe. But clearly...
As in O apostrophe E-R.
Yeah, O'er.
Or.
Rain O'er. Well, as Roger Daltrey sings it, Okay, but that's this is Rain On Me. Okay, fine. So he says at one point, Quadrophenia changed my life. And that song, you know, Love Rain On Me, which is the great climactic thing in Quadrophenia. If you've seen the film of Quadrophenia, it's the thing when Jimmy's driving the scooter off the edge of the Brighton Cliff. And it's a wonderful thing. I love The Who. I love Quadrophenia. He keeps going on about it. We keep hearing sections of this, which is great. And I love that song. But firstly, the title should be Rain On Me, not Rain Over Me. And secondly, at the end of the movie, they blow all that goodwill because they play out to Pearl Jam doing it. I don't want to hear Pearl Jam doing it. You just spent the whole movie telling me that The Who's song is life-changing.
Probably couldn't afford it.
No, it's in the movie. The Who song is in the movie. But and then suddenly it. I have to say, hey, it's in Pearl Jam. Only love can make it rain.
We don't want to hear you
that's
sing.
That's what it's like.
We don't want to hear you do accents. We don't want to hear you perform sketches. Duncan in Bristol, there was an interview in a Sunday paper with Anthony Hopkins whereby
Hopkins.
Whereby he says he turned down a movie because they asked him to do a Scottish accent. He said... He said he can only do Welsh. Brian in Belfast, Sir Anthony Hopkins' accent, I'm Irish, said all I heard was Swansea.
Yeah, thank you very much. Exactly. It's really bizarre. And so, and I don't think it's even intrinsic to the character anyway. They just sort of said, you know, just do, I would like do yourself.
I'd like to apologise to Simon Shaw, who started this all off by just saying, please don't let him do that stupid voice. As a result of which, he spent the last 40 minutes
doing nothing else. Shall we say
it together? No, and you're not going to say it again.
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Got a weekend off from that, at least.
Thanks for downloading our lovely podcast. We didn't quite manage to say it on air, so just for you lot, my film of the week is Half Nelson. Flawed, but ambitious. Also, just in case you're interested, Simon and I spoke to David Morrissey, you know, who played Gordon Brown in the Channel 4 programme The Deal and was in the vastly underrated Basic Instinct 2 before the reviews today. He's in a very hokey new horror film called The Reaping. He thought it's great. I told him it was tosh. If you want to hear the interview, it's Friday's Daily Mail podcast, so go and download it at bbc.co.uk/5live or just have a look in iTunes.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live